From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training centers in Denver, Colorado, and Anchorage, Alaska, this is Dog Works Radio, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Dog Works Radio is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, hosting from Dog Works Radio in Willow, Alaska. And sitting beside me for the first time in a long time is our co-host, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to be up here at Forto's Fort at Dog Works Radio, Alaska. I'm looking forward to the upcoming mushing season and getting Alaska Dog Works off its feet.
So before we go into our show today, I know you have two dogs that you brought up here with you to begin training, one for service work and another for executive protection. Let's talk a little bit about Nico first.
Nico is 12 weeks old. He is here for executive protection. He's doing great. He does have a little bit of a cough, but he's working that out. We have been working with him on puppy obedience, and we'll continue that for the next 3 or 4 weeks.
So tell our listeners out there, what exactly is executive protection?
Executive protection is where you train a dog to monitor your property and protect yourself and your family.
And Nico is a German Shepherd. How old is he?
I mentioned before, he's 12 weeks.
12 weeks old, and he comes from show lines, working lines, American, German.
He's American working lines. Not really anything humongously spectacular or notable, but he's going to make a name for himself.
And our other dog that we have in training up here at Alaska Dog Works is a dog named DJ. Tell us about DJ.
DJ is from a good friend of ours in North Carolina who is also in the pet industry in a roundabout sort of way. And she sent her dog to us the same day that I left Denver and arrived in Alaska, just a few hours before I did. And DJ will be becoming a mobility service dog for her.
And what exactly is a mobility service dog?
Mobility service dog, in DJ's case, he will be providing bracing and stability support for her when she is unstable. Mobility has a vast definition. It can be for someone in a wheelchair. It can be for someone with a walker. It can be for someone with limited use of a limb, but not necessarily fully disabled.
So today we're talking to a company in Denver, Colorado, Chuck and Don's. I know you're familiar with that place. Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, Chuck and Don's is based out of Minneapolis, I believe, but they do have an outlet in Denver, just north of where we're at, not very far from Denver Dog Works. I believe they're in Cherry Creek, which is about 6 miles from our location. And from what I understand from our clients, they're a pretty cool pet store outlet.
So today we're talking to the district manager of the Colorado base of Chuck and Don's. Her name is Christine Stanton. Christine, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hi. How are you on this Sunday morning?
It's great. It's beautiful here. So it's a great Denver morning.
So we're pretty familiar with Chuck and Don's being based in Denver ourselves. Can you introduce what the company is about? I know you guys are based out of Eagan, Minnesota, and you're growing spectacularly. Tell us a little bit about Chuck and Don's.
Well, we are a premium pet specialty store, so we will carry all of your basic supplies that you're going to need for your pet. So premium pet food, different toys that are going to be educational or interactive for your pet depending on their needs, leashes, collars, treats, you know, pretty much anything you could need for your pet, dogs, cats, and then small animals as well.
So you say you're a specialty outlet. Is this a large store or is it more of a boutique?
Well, we consider ourselves somewhere in between. We are about 4,000 square feet. So it's just quite the right perfect size for us.
And I'm sure your biggest competition is Petco and PetSmart and places like that. What sets you apart from the national chains?
Well, I think that's a few things. One of them is the education that we give our team members in pet food nutrition and really helping the customer find the product that's going to be the right fit for their family. And it comes down to we have a list of questions that we'll go through with each customer when they come into the store, trying to gauge what their needs are. We work in conjunction with their trainers as well. Sometimes trainers have recommendations on things that maybe we don't quite carry in the store, but we certainly can special order for them. We certainly work with their vets as well. The veterinarian has some requirements. We do not have the ability to carry prescription-based diets, but we can get anything outside of that. And then also just being able to be a good resource for trainers, vets, breeders, rescues, daycares, all of those types of things. So we become a good local resource for people in our community and our neighborhood.
You know, I think that's a great idea to have that resource available to people because so many times pet owners will buy the wrong type of food, and a lot of times that is in conjunction with a lot of behavior problems and, of course, medical and physical problems for their dog. So I think having that ability to be able to interact with everybody in the pet's lifestyle, so to speak, as you mentioned, the trainers and the vets and all that, I think that's a great way to do that. How did you guys fill that niche? You know, I've never heard anything like that.
Well, you know, the owners of the company, you know, Chuck and Bob is one of the owners now, and has been with the company since 93, and it was kind of their desire and their direction to say, you know, we really listen to our customers and what they want. Each community that we go into, we'll take surveys, we ask questions, we spend time with them, and we really find what the need is and what they're looking for, and then we just specialize to that. So it's been a very nice relationship. We have been very lucky and very fortunate to be able to work with many, many trainers, many rescues, many breeders, to be able to also give us, you know, the advice and tips that we need as far as, you know, what the customers are looking for, what products they're looking for, what's good, what's new, all of those things. The pet industry world is quite large, so there's always new stuff every day coming out, and it's nice just to have those partnerships, and I think that's really been a big key to our success, is really being connected to that community and what our community really is looking for.
So as you know, Denver is a huge dog community. I think it's listed as one of the top five in terms of what people do with their dogs. Have you found that it is a very receptive community in Denver?
Yes, it has been very receptive. And it's great to be able to be out and see so many people that are really active with their dogs, really engaged, really want to have that relationship, that special relationship with their dogs. I do see the occasional few cats. It's not as often, but it does happen. But mostly the dog community is just wonderful here. It's been great.
And in a few minutes, we're going to talk about some events that you guys have partnered up with in Denver. I know, you know, being a training school in Denver, we try to attend as many of those as possible. And there's always something going on. Just about every weekend in Denver, something is going on dog-related, whether it's one of those 5Ks or you know, some type of adoption, adopt-a-thon or whatever. Something is always going on in Denver. So before we go any further, Christine, we're talking to Christine Stanton, the district manager of Chuck and Don's in Denver. Chuck and Don's is a specialty pet food outlet located. Are you guys in Cherry Creek?
We are. It's Cherry Creek North, right on 2nd and University.
Second and University. So before we go on, I want to talk a little bit about the Barking Muse. I'm looking at some PR stuff that you guys sent over. Tell us a little bit about that.
That is we call it our Friends of Chuck loyalty program. That is a program that's open and available to anyone. That program, we enter your information, just your name and address, in our computer system. And then we will track your purchases. So it does a couple of things for the customer. Number one, if they buy something and they just can't remember by the time the next month comes around and they come into the store, we can look at that history and kind of tell them, oh, you bought this. Did that work for you? Did that not work? So it tracks customer purchases. We do not share any of that information, so that is all private within our company. But the other really great thing about it is it's packed full of coupons that we partner with our vendors on to try and pass on savings to our customers. And then each customer is also earning a percentage back based on what they are purchasing the prior quarter. They also receive that as a nice another savings just from our company that we can pass on to them. We will also list all of our...
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, we just list all of our events that we're doing in-store. So each store has the ability to host different events based on what the community is looking for. And then the corporate out-of-store events, which are typically the ones that I do, I go out and set up, just like you were talking about it, adopt-a-thons or 5Ks, things like that as well.
And as I was saying, those reward programs are a great way to establish customer loyalty. I know just in our family, we go to particular grocery stores just because they offer some type of cash back or some type of reward. So I think that's a good way to have repeat business. And you know, a lot of people are doing that, but very few are doing it with feedback that's available like you guys are doing, where you can say, hey, you know what, you guys bought you know, whatever dog food last month, I think you should continue on with that this month, correct?
Correct, yes. And if it didn't work as well, we can say, oh, well, two times ago, you know, you bought this, that didn't work out. A lot of times when working with a pet owner and they're working with their trainer, or they're working with their vet, sometimes it takes a few tries to get that exact right fit. And the nice thing is that we have the ability to let the customer know, if you take this food home, you try it, it does not work out, you know, bring that receipt, bring that bag back in, we'll exchange it out for a new kind of food and help them get on the right track. Because as a pet owner, with all the variety of food that's out there, it can be a little daunting sometimes to kind of figure out, you know, what's going to work, what's not going to work. And I think that little peace of mind that if it doesn't work, bring it back, we'll get you something else is really nice.
Right. Michelle, you have a question for Christine?
No, I was just curious how many people come in and really do need to be educated on the type of food that they should be buying, or are they even interested in learning about the types of foods that you guys are offering? Are they just in there to purchase, you know, the next newest food fad?
It kind of depends. It's a pretty good range. A lot of our customers on the first visit, we're very new in Denver, so they're just checking us out. They want to know who we are, you know, what's it all about, what can I get. And once they meet our team members, and our team members, I have to say, are some of the most committed animal lovers that you're going to find out there. So there's kind of that instant connection. We encourage them to bring their pets, so oftentimes they can try different treats. Oftentimes we'll have samples of foods, you know, can kind of give them an idea. It's a pretty good range of customers that we get that come in and they kind of know what they're looking for. Some customers come in and they've been trying some things and they just haven't been quite as pleased as they think they should be. We get customers that come in with a very strict list from their trainer or their vet that says, this is what I need to buy and this is what I'm going to do. And it's nice because we can help all of them.
Right. I'm actually a trainer who has sent people in to pick up native because I was out of, you know, native 3 puppy, for instance, and I've sent people in to pick it up from you guys, and I know that from time to time we end up with native not being as available to any of us on back order. What do you guys do in those situations with other food companies other than just, you know, native? I know native has an issue with that, especially with their level 3 and their puppy, but what do you do when the food's on back order? Because some of the specialty foods, that's what ends up happening.
Yeah, we try and really work pretty close with our vendors and our food buyer to kind of gauge. We have a pretty good inventory system that at times if we see that if it's something on our side where we're just not ordering enough in, we can adjust those levels. If it truly is something that sometimes is on the manufacturer side and they do run into that, sometimes things become more popular or there's sourcing issues, what we try and do is get as much information as we can from that manufacturer to help educate that customer. And if they do want to make a switch or maybe have 2 foods that they feed because they're unsure of that, we can help them with that. And that's really about the best we can do. If the manufacturer is out, it is difficult. Sometimes you don't always get as quick answers as you would like. But we try and stay on top of that to be able to at least gauge, give the customer a gauge of it's going to be 1 week or 2 week. In the meantime, not everybody wants to make a switch. If we know there's another pet supply store in the area that happens to have some when we're out, we will most certainly send them there and let them know that. Because really the health and the well-being of that animal is our number one concern.
And that's the key to a good business's success, is being able to refer to other people. And I know being in the dog training industry for so long, a lot of us are very you know, closed listed, so to speak. You know, we don't like to do a lot of referrals, but that's the way businesses work, isn't it?
Yeah, we, you know, we know that we are certainly not experts in training, and we are not experts in dog grooming, or we are not experts in some of those other fields. But what we feel really good about is the partnerships that we build with other businesses, so that we can say, okay, we have a list of two trainers. Here's some questions. Oftentimes trainers will give us questions to say, when people are coming in and they're trying to choose the correct trainer for what they want to do, you know, here's a list of questions they need to think about before they go to that trainer and figure out what's best for them. So being able to partner with people who are experts in fields that we're not is it's really quite wonderful, because we get to kind of see that pet grow and learn, and you see that person come back into the store with their dog that, you know, maybe has a few manner issues in the beginning, and then they come back and you can tell the person is so happy and so glowing that their pet is doing so well and genuinely, you know, has a much better lifestyle because of it.
And we're talking to Christine Stanton, the district manager for Chuck and Don's Pet Food Outlet in Cherry Creek North in Denver on 2nd and University. Tell us a little bit about your social media presence. I know that that is huge for just about every business out there. Everybody has a Facebook page. Everybody has a Twitter account. Do you guys offer any type of feedback on social media?
We do. Our social media, our Facebook, we do all types of contests on there. People love, and this seems to be a very popular thing. We did it last year. We did a Halloween kind of a dress-up-your-pet contest, a photo contest, and the responses were overwhelming. So that seems to be very popular. So we do things like that where we can gauge and say, okay, if this is something that's popular and people enjoy doing this, we're going to go ahead and keep doing that. There's places where they can go on to our website and post a survey about the store. We always welcome feedback from our customers, whether it be from something that they felt we were lacking in the store or tell us how really great we are, being able to suggest products. Sometimes we find out about products through customers saying, you know, hey, this is a really great toy for my dog that, you know, could chew everything and you guys should look at carrying it. So our survey for people to be able to truly give us feedback is really nice. It helps us learn a little bit more about our business and what people are looking for. And then, of course, we have Twitter.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yep, we have a Twitter account, and Chuck's dog Gino is now tweeting, so that's been very exciting. That's very new, so that's kind of fun.
And what is his name? Chuck Dog?
Chuck Anderson, one of the owners of the company, his dog Gino is a golden retriever, and he is now tweeting. So that's been kind of fun. Gino, the happy dog.
I found a lot of dogs are tweeting on Twitter. I think that's a pretty cool way to give an interesting perspective on life, is when people are tweeting as their dog, and people love that. I know one of the most popular dogs on Twitter is Chelsea Handler's dog, Chunk, and he has more followers than she does just because of that pet connection that everybody has. I think that's a great way to go. So let me delve just a little bit more into this Facebook phenomenon that businesses are a part of. And you know, we're driven almost solely by social media, our radio show. How have you found that social media helps you guys out in a difficult situation, whether it be a complaint or, you know, something that needs immediate feedback versus, you know, an email or something like that?
Well, I guess the beauty of Facebook is it's kind of that real-time, instant time. You know, it's right there. You can get on at any moment and send out what people are thinking. So it does give us that connection with the customer that, for that exact purpose, maybe they don't want to take the time to call because they just don't want to do the phone, or they don't want to email because they're not certain that it'll really get to where it needs to go. So certainly Facebook is a platform that you can use that for. And sometimes you do, you know, you get those customers that just say, hey, this isn't quite what I thought it would be. It gives us the ability to be able to really look at that, talk to the stores about maybe what have happened, and then if there was something that truly we did not do, we will make that right.
Right.
So it's an easy, really quick platform. It's become very, very popular, that's for sure.
And I found that in today's world, that's how people are communicating. People aren't doing email and phone calls as much as Facebook and Twitter. And there's so many companies out there that are responding so quickly using social media and getting miraculous results with that. So with that, Christine Stanton, district manager of Chuck and Don's, Let's talk a little bit about dog food. And in some information you guys sent over, you guys want to talk a little bit about the different kinds of food. And so many people are misinformed about the different types. And a lot of times it's what their neighbors are doing or what their friends are buying that is the motivation on what they feed their dogs. So can you educate our listeners about the different types of food, the dried, the canned, the raw, and the ever popular today organic and, you know, home-based diets? So let's talk a little bit about those.
Sure. Our customers come in and they really do look for that variety of different types of foods for many different reasons. What we try and help them with is really ask some questions about their pet to get a little bit better understanding of maybe what's going on. If they have a recommendation from their vet, we certainly direct them right to that. And then oftentimes we can give them information that they can take back to help that consultation with their vet a little easier. However, you know, the dry foods have been, I think, over the years the most popular. They're the most convenient by far for pet owners. They're usually more accessible depending on the types of dry foods. We do specialize in the premium pet food, so we're going to have foods that have better quality ingredients, little less filler, some of those things that maybe the pet really isn't needing as much of. And the dry foods, the selection out there now is quite large, even in the premium category is quite large. So the dry foods are very popular. The canned foods can be a really nice way to get extra moisture into your dog's diet. Certainly a lot of people will use them if they're giving their dogs medication. It's a good way to kind of sneak something in there that the dog might not find. Occasionally you get that very tricky dog who can find that little pill no matter where it's hiding. But the canned food can be a really nice platform for extra moisture. A lot of vets we have found will recommend it for dogs that are a little bit overweight to help control that a little bit. Some people like to do it just to give their dog a treat. They feel that they've worked really hard, they've trained really hard, so they want to give them that little extra treat. The organic foods, those are definitely becoming more and more popular. And I think that's the case with human foods as well. People are looking for more of that really raw, organic, good high-quality foods. The organic foods are a little bit more difficult because the certification for being organic, whether it's human or pet, is quite extensive. So there are certain labels that you will want to look for that does say they are certified organic. There's a couple of different organizations that do that. There are a few foods out there that have gone that route and is really great. But also the natural pet foods, and that's a word that's a term that's used a lot, but really and truly natural is trying to help that pet have what would be the most clean ingredients, I guess is the best way to put it, in their diet. The raw diet is very, very popular as well. It's a diet that is mixed together. It's frozen, and then the pet owner just needs to thaw the diet and then feed. It's typically very heavy meat-based, and we do find that a lot of pet owners that go to that diet tend to see a nice weight reduction. The dog kind of naturally finds a really good healthy weight for them, usually really athletic weight. And it certainly depends on what the dog is doing. If the dog is very, very active, some people will use a combination of dry and raw or dry and canned. For some of your dogs that are a little bit more couch potato, again, there's all types of formulas within the dry and canned line that'll be maybe for your senior dogs or your dogs that are a little bit slower. They do have different dietary requirements, just like humans. When I was 17, I certainly can't eat what I can eat now, and that's for sure. So you have to take that into consideration with your pets as well.
Right, right. And you mentioned, Christine, about premium foods. And a lot of people base premium on price. And I think, you know, in our client's situation, they'll say that one of the first questions about a dog food is how much it costs. And they make their decision based on that. Of course, we all do. If things are too expensive, a lot of us just can't afford to buy it. So can you give us a little bit of an education about that? You know, it's not necessarily the high price that is the motivating factor in these premium foods.
Right. That is looking, you know, really what we try and have our customers do is look at the quality of those ingredients. You know, what does that label say? What are you reading on there? You know, what's your concerns? You know, do you want something that has absolutely no grain? That's definitely very popular diets that are out there. What we do find with higher quality foods, and they don't necessarily have to be higher-priced foods. That's certainly not true. But the higher-quality foods, you typically will feed less quantity. So you know, in the end, it does come out to be where, you know, the price that you're actually paying per pound is, when you break it down that way, is maybe not quite as high as you would think. And the food does last a little longer because your dog doesn't need to take in quite so much in order to pull the nutrition out of the ingredients of the dry food.
So can you give us a little bit of insight on some new and exciting products that are coming out in the pet food market? Maybe you have a little bit of inside information for us.
Well, I don't have too much terrible inside information. I don't know if there's a product that you guys have heard or seen or used, but it's called Musher Secret. And that has been around for a while. We find that, people sometimes don't know about it. The packaging is very clean looking. It's a, you know, it's a little small container. Musher Secret is a product that you will use on your dog's feet to help protect them from ice and snow, salt, snowballing. Some of those dogs, Michelle, I'm sure as you know, sometimes that can build up in the pads of their feet. Certainly grooming can help with that, but the Musher Secret is a really nice product. It comes out of Canada, and they've been using it with lab dogs up there for quite a while. And so it's been a product that's been very popular for us that we find that it's not really well known quite a bit in different areas. So we'll see
how...
It
works great for just regular old pet dogs. They don't have to be hardcore working dogs. It's just the dogs that are walking, you know, around the block, you know, on a little bit of exercise.
Yeah, it'll keep their pads really nice, soft and supple, kind of help prevent that cracking or drying that can happen sometimes.
Right, right. Michelle, you have a question for Christine?
No, I was just going to go on with the comment about the Musher Secret. It is true. Very little people know about Musher Secret. Most people use Bag Balm because it's been conveniently packaged. It's, you know, a little bit more accessible to get a hold of. I'm glad that you guys are stocking Musher Secret because it is definitely a product that I would endorse and stand behind.
Yeah, I have a Boston Terrier, and she certainly... I wouldn't say the most active dog, but she, you know, since we've come here to Denver, we are more active. She's not a winter dog, so this will be great for her, but I have noticed that her pads do get quite a bit more dry. We've been using that, and it's been great. Her feet look really nice. So,
you know, Christine, the other thing, Christine, too, is in Denver, the climate is significantly drier than pretty much any other region. And part of that is not just her having more exercise, but the fact that the climate in Denver is so much drier that her body is actually adjusting to it as well. If you know, you'll start noticing that your fingers are going to start becoming more and more dry, and it's not because you're handling more money or more paper, it's just because of the climate. And you can use the Musher Secret on your own hands as well, and it works wonders, but it's partly because Denver happens to be so dry.
Yeah. Yep, that makes a lot of sense. She likes it. The other thing is it doesn't have a bad smell. So other things that I have tried in the past maybe smell a little different, and with this, it isn't that kind of incessant licking, which is really nice.
So, Christine, have you found that the newer foods that are coming out are of the same quality as kind of the old standbys, you know, the IAMs, the Eukanubas, the Pedigrees, those sorts of things that everybody knows about? You know, you'll see these, you know, very slick commercials for Blue Buffalo and, you know, some of the more newer players on the scene. What can you tell us about some of these new products based on, you know, years of research compared to the others?
Well, you know, with any new food that comes out, we always educate our customers in saying, okay, what are you feeding now, and, you know, why do you want to change? That's a big question, is why are you looking to change, if that's kind of what it is. As new foods come out, you know, I don't think there's any end in sight for that stopping, but again, it's reading those labels, trying to do as much research as you can on that company. If they let you know where they're sourcing products from, a lot of customers really want to know where, okay, this says beef, but where is that coming from? Sometimes you can get that information, sometimes you can't. But again, it's looking at that ingredient panel, comparing the two, and then really, you know, making the best fit for your pet. You know, marketing is wonderful because it gets information out there, but at the same time, the pet owner has to be smart about what they're looking for their pet. Maybe that formula just isn't quite right. Doesn't mean the food's necessarily bad. It just isn't a good fit for that particular animal.
And that's a great point. And if we could explore that just a little bit further in terms of the different types of formulas that dog foods have compared to the different types of dogs. And I know Michelle had mentioned the native products. We carried that for quite a while over at Denver Dog Works. You know, they had the four levels from puppy all the way up to the working dog. Can you tell us a little bit about the different types of food in a particular line and why one is better than the other for a particular dog?
Well, we look at a couple of different things. If the dog is very active, then we know that dog is going to be able to withstand possibly a little bit higher protein content. But it's not so much just that the protein percent or the protein content is higher, it's where is that protein coming from? Is it a meat-based protein? Is it a grain-based protein? You can get protein percentages of, you know, 30% or 40% or 15% from, you know, beef, or just as much as you can, maybe a grain source. So really, what's going to work best for that animal? What are they going to be able to digest best? And then how much, sometimes it comes down to you start seeing certain results in your backyard, and that's a kind of a good gauge of people will notice that a little bit. So we kind of tell them to always look for that. And most people we found in Denver are really good about coming in and giving us all the details on that, so that's good. But it's certainly something that you have to look at the age of the dog, the weight of the dog. If there was any pre-existing health issues, you want to make sure those are addressed. If it is truly a dog that for some reason cannot have beef, you know, recommending a beef formula, no matter how good you think it is, it's just simply not going to work for that dog. Senior dogs typically will need a little less fat or protein in their diet, but there are those senior dogs that exercise regularly and seem to carry good weight and can stay on an adult food. So it really just depends on the dog.
Right, and I'm so glad we're able to talk about that today, because so many people are uninformed about the proper food that they need for their dog. And like you said, it's not just the slick commercial that that is necessary in making an informed decision, and I'm glad we were able to spend some time on that and you were able to educate our listeners about that. So next on our list, Christine, we're talking to Christine Stanton, district manager of Chuck and Don's Pet Outlet. Tell us about what is going on with your guys' expansion in Denver. I know you guys have four locations that are planned.
Yes. You mentioned earlier, our store in Cherry Creek North is currently open. That store's been doing very well. That opened in late January of this year. We have our second location in Centennial, which is in the streets of South Glen, and that's a location over there. Some people are familiar with that kind of landmark area, the streets of South Glen. That will open mid to late October, and that's what we're looking at for that. We are planning a store in the Littleton area. That could be possibly November or December. We're also looking in the Lakewood area and then potentially the Aurora area. Though some of those may come next year, because there is only so much time in the day to get everything done. So
Right. Certainly
we are looking at the expansion. And we've just found that Denver is a good fit for what we do. And it has a lot to do with our, again, it goes back to the education. It's reaching out to our community partners. We really want to be that pet supply store in the neighborhood where someone can come in. You know, your pets are always welcome. And certainly come in, and sometimes they meet other pet owners. Being a resource for really good dog trainers, really good vets,
you know,
good
Christine,
dog parks, good dog daycares.
You know, Christine, when I was distributing Native, which we still are, but not on the scale that we were before, we had a couple of clients that were actually calling us from Arizona and New Mexico and willing to drive to Denver to pick up food from me. Is there a possibility that you guys are looking at putting a store in South Colorado Springs or even Pueblo?
Well, I never say never on that. Bob, one of the owners, definitely has a really good plan of looking at where do we fit. Every community that we go into, we want to make sure it's a good fit for us and that community. So it's definitely a possibility. I wouldn't say yes, but I wouldn't say no, because it could definitely happen.
And I know that you're the district manager of Colorado, but we do have a national audience here on our show. Can you tell us about what other parts of the country you guys are located in?
We have 18 stores in Minnesota. So they're all around the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul. Egan was the first location. That one's certainly there. We go as far as Red Wing and Northfield, as far north as Elk River and Forest Lake. So we are definitely have a very good presence in the Minnesota market.
And Minnesota, like Denver, is a huge dog. The Twin Cities are a huge dog town, like Denver. I've lived there for years in Minnesota, and I'm very familiar with what is going on there. Are you guys thinking about expanding to other larger cities in the country, maybe Dallas, areas like that?
I think that's probably a possibility as far as what those markets would look like or where specifically that could be. Certainly that's the owners of the company, they do the strategizing on that. But knowing that we've come to Denver and we do have a business model that works, I wouldn't see any reason why not.
Right. So let's talk about some of the things that you guys have going on or a part of in Denver. You listed four different things. Let's talk about the first one. That is very intriguing to our listeners. We've had a couple of guests on in the past about these animal communication sessions. Can you tell us a little bit about that? That's happening on October 15th.
Yeah, that one in particular, Kathleen is an animal communicator. She does specialize in cats, and what we do find is it's kind of a dog's world, and we do have a lot of cat owners that maybe do have behavioral issues. Or the cat really just is, not as pleasant as they think it could be, or there's urination problems. Our first thing is to always recommend, consult with your vet to make sure that there's a good checkout that happens. Everything is okay there, because sometimes it can be a medical problem, and that will resolve the issue. The other thing is the animal communicator will come in. She's kind of, it's really interesting. She'll ask you to bring a photo. She doesn't want you to bring the cat into the store, and I think that's the cats typically do not enjoy car rides, so that can be a little bit off-putting. But you can bring a photo of your pet, and then she kind of has conversations with you, and the animal communicators oftentimes will be able to give you insight into that animal behavior that then you can go home and kind of implement new strategies in your household that can really change, your life with your animal.
And you also have...
particular specializes in cats. We do have... another one, Jennifer Keys, who comes in, and she does dog animal communication as well. So very similar, but on that one you can bring your dog in, and she'll spend time with you in a quiet place. You bring your concerns. So it's very interesting. It's very interesting to me to kind of see how people come back and talk about, I would have never thought of this, or, I just had no idea, and it can really truly change the relationship with that owner and that pet.
And it's all about that relationship that we have that makes that bond so much greater, whether it's the cat or the dogs. And, of course, we focus on dogs here on our show, but there are plenty of cat owners out there that are looking for education as much as us dog owners. You also have two very popular programs, massages for your pets, and you have one on the 15th and one on the 7th. What is the deal with pet massage? I know that, here up in Alaska, just about on every corner, there's a chiropractor office, and I think that's just for our crazy lifestyle up here. But it is becoming very popular for our pets for these massages. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was something that we have done that in Minnesota as well. And when we came here, that was one of the things that we wanted to find animal welfare partners or animal behaviorist or, different what the community is looking for. And the massage was one that came up on the list of being important to pet owners. And they find, if I can tell you a quick story, we had the Front Range German Shepherd Rescue was in the store the same day we had our animal massage therapist in. And they had a particular shepherd with them that particular day, and her name was Ruby. And Ruby was very shy and very timid and it's new surrounding and other dogs and things like that. She had been medically checked out, so there weren't any underlying issues that was happening, but sometimes dogs can carry a lot of tension and they'll carry it in different places. Ruby was a very active dog, so Mina said, I just want to work on her a little bit and just kind of spend time with her. Ruby was very standoffish. She really didn't want you getting too close or being in her space. Mino sat next to her and just talked to the handler for quite a while. Ruby warmed up to her, and then you could see her start kind of, you know, moving her hands on her and moving her hips and joints around and just kind of working on her a little bit. And I have some great photos at the very end of Ruby actually, you know, kind of leaning up and giving Mino a kiss under the chin, almost like a thank you for the kind of maybe the release of tension or things like that. So we're finding that in the dog world, I have not seen cats have massages, but I'm sure somebody out there is doing that. But in the dog world, we're finding for the dogs that are really active, that owners are really curious about how can massage really help my pet's life? Does it make a difference? And then coming back and telling us stories of different things, your flyball dogs, your agility dogs, they work very hard. So we're seeing it in that area quite heavily. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, and we do that a lot to our sled dogs. We give them a quick rub down and a massage, and you can just be amazed about how well that they feel after that. I mean, I'm sure that people that go get massages can attest to this a heck of a lot more than I can. I've only had one or two massages in my life, but when I did do those, it was awfully nice. And the last one that I want to mention, we have about 3 minutes left, Christine, is the anesthesia-free dental cleaning. I know this is a very popular program because of what it takes to get a regular deep cleaning at your vet. Your dog has to be, you know, put under anesthesia and put to sleep, so to speak. This is becoming ever more popular, and you guys are offering it on October 10th. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, that is exactly as you said. It's anesthesia-free, so those who, for the deep cleanings, definitely, you know, the animal does have to have anesthesia. But for these, it's very similar. If a person goes into the dentist and you have kind of have your teeth scaled and then polished, that is basically the process that they're using. And amazingly, most people think, oh, my dog will never sit still for that, and they'll never lay down for that, and there's no way that'll happen. And they get it done, and they have a great touch with the animal, very gentle, soft touch with the animals. They get them to lay down on a comfortable bed and really do a very, very nice job. So it is very popular, and a lot of people like that option just because of not having to do the anesthesia.
Right, right. And you guys are, of course, we mentioned on Facebook and Twitter, and your guys' website is chuckanddons.com. Can you give us some information about your location in Cherry Creek? What is the address, a phone number, whatever you want to share?
Yep, it is. The address is 201 University Avenue, and that is in Denver. And just for a few landmarks, we are... it's on 2nd and University. We are right between Enstrom's Candy and Christie's Sports. Those seem to be very popular, so people typically know where that is right away. And then the phone number is 720-496-2668.
Christine Stanton, District Manager for Chuck and Don's in Colorado. It's an Eagan, Minnesota-based company. They got all kinds of stores up there in the Twin Cities. I know we have a whole bunch of listeners that listen to our show up there. So make sure you visit Chuck and Don's there and possibly a store coming to your guys' area in the future. You never know. It sounds like a great way to enhance the lives of your pet. Christine, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on a Sunday afternoon. In your guys' case, we'll keep in touch, okay?
Oh, thank you very much. Good luck in Alaska, and good luck with the team. I'm very excited to watch the progress.
Thank you very much. We'll keep in touch for sure. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye. This is Robert Forto on behalf of our guest, Christine Stanton, and our co-host, now up in Alaska, Michelle Forto. We will talk to you guys next week. Never forget your dreams. Goodbye.